This is the steps 10, 11, and 12 session.
No, this is small, one of the smallest I've ever been to. No. I expected a lot of people for 10 months. Oh, well.
I think a lot of people understand that those are the meetings that are really important and maybe the most important.
it's called do it or else. You know, if you don't, then it's called chronic relapse. I don't know. You tell us when to go. Go? Okay. Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Don. I'm a compulsive eater and food addict. Shall we begin with the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. As I said, my name is Ann. I'm a compulsive eater and food addict. I'm seated with Ann. We will speak for 20 minutes each and then open the room for shares on the topic of 10, 11, 12 for up to 3 minutes for your sharing. Okay, as I said, I'm Don, compulsive eater and food addict from Connecticut. Came to the program 43 years ago, 1982, January 26th, and never left. I walked into my first meeting January 26th, as I said, grossly obese, suicidal, and an atheist. Other than that, I had everything going for me. Thanks to the 12-step change and rebuilding process, I'm no longer any of those things. I've been abstinent for 4 decades, a little over that now, probably about 41 years, maintaining a little under 200-pound weight loss now for about 40 years. My highest weight was somewhere between 350 and 400, not sure where in there. Recovery for me has been about personality rebuilding, replacing the negatives with positives, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In other words, a new way of eating, a new way of thinking, and a new way of believing. Because it wasn't really my problem, even at 400 pounds, food symptom. The real problem was between my ears. So OA gave me and showed me how to have a second chance at life. I do a gratitude list every morning, which I'll mention when we get into the 11th step. And one of the things on there almost always is second chance. I got a second chance at life because when I came here, I was ready to check out. I had done the bridge thing about 30 days before I walked into my meeting. I climbed up on a bridge over the Hudson River in New York. Obviously, I didn't go. Or I wouldn't be here, but that's another story, right? That's for another time. So I had to do the work, though. As I said, OA showed me how to get a second chance, but I had to do the work. There's a sign in the gym that I go to that says, if you aren't willing to work for it, don't complain about not having it. And this is analogous to the program for me. If I'm not willing to work for it, don't complain about not having it. This is an action program. It's a change program, and that means change, action, 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 and that's what the 12 steps are for me. So I'm in now what I call phase 3 of my life, and challenges to my recovery are different than they were 20 years ago. These last few years have been a working program harder than ever in order to hold on to recovery while dealing with unfixable chronic pain and disability, primarily as a result of failed back surgery 10 years ago. My favorite proverb today because of this disability and pain is, life is not about waiting for the rain to stop. It's about learning to dance in the rain. And that's what I've been doing now for about 10 years, learning to dance in the rain through this program. The program gave me a second chance and it continues to show me how to keep going. My body is failing. My brain is still here, thanks to God and these steps. So the food obsession was left a long time ago. I still have the disease. I have incurable disease. Incurable. But it is arrestable if I do certain things every day. And those are called 10, 11, and 12. Live the steps, right? 12 steps, 12 traditions, 9 tools. That's my Bible, if you want to call it. That's what I do. Try to live those things every day. So freedom's not free, as I often say. It's about doing the things that I need to do every day. So step 10, continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly edited. So that for me is daily. I do a daily inventory of how I'm living my new way of life that I learned in the program. My 10th is based on the action plans coming out of 6 and 7 for me. I don't know if any of you were in 6 and 7 this morning, but I talked about developing action plans. Well, my 10th is based upon how am I doing in those action plans, and I'll give you some specific examples in a second. So changing with higher powers help such things as self-pity and blaming into responsibility, taking responsibility for myself, or changing my judging and criticizing into acceptance, or changing for fear and anxiety into faith and trust, are all about me taking actions. You know, I identify the flaws, the defects, shortcomings, pick your word, in 4 and 5, and in 6 and 7, I identify solutions. I came out of 6, 7 with a firm action plan on what I was going to do. Think two columns, problem, solution. That's what I put together in 6 and 7, and coming out of there, I worked on the on those solutions, and that's what I'm checking in my 10th step, what I do a 10th step a day, right? So I do different kinds of 10th steps. There's many, many kinds of 10th steps. Some of the, one of those simplest ones I do is, okay, how was it living with me yesterday? How was it living with me today? By the way, I do it in the morning, not as the big book suggests, in the evening. I did for years, first early years in the evening, didn't quite go together with sleep. And so I started doing it in the morning. I've been doing it in the morning for a long, long, long time ago. Now, the 10th step isn't about beating myself up. It's just about how am I doing living in these ways that I want to live. So how was it working with me yesterday? Do I like who I am, who I was yesterday? Sometimes I'll do a quick 10th based on the slogans. You know, like one day at a time. How am I doing living in one day at a time? Am I living in today or wasting energy regretting the past or worrying about the future? Or live and let live? How am I doing in that? Do I accept others as they are? Or do I impose my values and my shoulds and oughts on them, the result being I'm always in conflict? My most important inventory, though, focuses more on the personality transformation that I began many years ago in 6 and 7. Learning and living new ways is not an overnight matter. It takes practice, practice, practice. I've learned that I act my way into right thinking, not think my way into right acting. So no magic. I act my way into right thinking. The very structured 10th step that I do a lot is asking myself, okay, how am I doing taking responsibility rather than blaming? How am I doing living in acceptance rather than anger and resentment? How am I doing living in faith and trust rather than fear and anxiety? How am I doing feeling God's presence rather than just simply feeling alone? How am I doing living in surrender rather than trying to control the unmanageable? How am I doing living in gratitude rather than self-pity? How am I doing living in hopefulness and rather than pessimism? And I have that total list. There are 17 long. I'm not going to read all 17, but you get the idea. I'm checking on how I'm doing living in the solution. I like to focus on the positive side, the solution side, not the negative. And just so please take this away, say, make to live in the, you know, being responsive or accepting or forgiveness or compassion or patience, tolerance, kindness, and love, to use that familiar phrase. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. My shorthand way of looking at this is find God, listen to what he has to say and do it. You know, okay, what are we going to do today? I say we because I look at this relationship as a partnership. You know, as I said, I came in as an atheist. It's been a very long spiritual journey, but I'm not an atheist anymore. But, you know, my conception of higher power is my conception of higher power. The main thing is I know I'm not higher power. I'm not in control. I'm not in charge. Oh, crap, I'm not in charge. So I check in every day, and it's like saying, okay, God, you know, what are we going to do today? I look at my 11th step every morning, which I don't even remember the last time I missed it, many, many, many years ago. This is every morning, every morning, every morning. It's a little like packing for the day. You know, it feels like the daily renewal of my faith, and it's not optional, as I said. If I don't renew my subscription every morning with God, it seems to run out sometime during the day. I'll regret it in the afternoon if I haven't done my quiet time and reading, and I'll go over with you in a second all I do. So the step is not just about saying prayers. that I've memorized or giving God my wish list. It suggests that prayer is the best way to get to know what God wants me to do. That means I think over my problems and talk to God about them, trying to discover what this higher power within me would have me do. Let me summarize my morning process. It's lengthy. I'm retired, so I have all the time I need, right? So I take about 45 minutes to leave it in the morning. Now, back in the days before I was retired, it took about 20 minutes. And so that meant getting up at 5:30 in the morning in order to, you know, do my time, eat my breakfast, get out the door, and you know, get to work. So this is what I do. I have an opening prayer. Good morning, God. Thank you for the gift of another day. Help me use it well. Second thing is I write down three lists in my journal. Every day, I write down my food plan for the day, my work plan for the day, my to-do list. And the third thing that I started writing years ago, particularly when I had to start working my program even harder because of the physical pain and disability, I write down an attitude plan, believe it or not. And my attitude plan this morning was something like positive, hopeful, enthusiastic, surrender, and focus. The focus is about focusing on the work plan for the day. The third thing I do is the inventory, which I already mentioned. Then I read the For Today book, and I write down in my journal every day what it means to me. Sometimes it's a nothing, and sometimes I write a whole bunch of stuff because it's really relevant, but they're not always relevant. I do the same thing for the Voices of Recovery, write its relevance to me. I have other daily readers that I read. There are actually, I think, about 19 books on my reading table besides my thing. So I kind of alternate sometimes. I have a lot of daily reading books from other programs. I write a gratitude list, and this is key for me to keep life in perspective, writing a gratitude list every day. It's always more, usually 15 or something like that. Very valuable thing for me to do. It takes away, helps combat the grayness that is there. You know, I'm 85 years old now, and the body is failing. And so naturally thinking about, oh my goodness, where am I going to go? What's going to happen? I'm going to be totally dependent, blah, 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 blah. That's the shit I have to get rid of. You know, give that all to God and keep going. And the gratitude list helps that. You know, grateful for still having something that's useful to people, that is sharing this recovery, as I am doing here today. I serenity prayer exercise by writing down a list of troubles and things I can, in fact, not change. And then I do a second list of things that I, in fact, can change. You know, the can change, of course, is just mostly me, my attitudes and my choices, my priorities. Then I say the third step prayer. Listen carefully to each line that I'm saying. I don't do it just wrote. If I just do it wrote, you know, blah, 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 it means nothing. I have to listen to the words that I'm saying. Then I do the same thing for the seventh step prayer. Then I do the 11th step prayer as written in the AA 12 and 12. So I do all those prayers. Occasionally, I review my what I call my 14 basic beliefs that have derived over these 40 years. They're all listed on this large worksheet that I have. Number 7 is the one I most often look at. It says, I believe that God will give me the strength and the courage to accept and deal with whatever life brings, especially the chronic pain and disability that I will have for the rest of my life. God's always with me, in me, beside me, around me, ready to help me on my journey, even carry me if need be. Then I do affirmations. I do the just for today affirmations. You know, just for today, I'll get through this day only, and I'll try to solve my whole life problem at once. I could do something for 12 hours that would appall me if I tried to do it for a lifetime. I do 2 or 3 faith affirmations. These are very useful to me, like, for example, God, an honest plan of eating, and the 12 steps are the foundation on which I build a successful and rewarding life. I do 2 or 3 self-esteem affirmations, like, I am enough, I have enough, I do enough. And then I do some 2 or 3 pain and disability affirmations, like, I accept my physical condition as what is. It's life, which is not to be wasted. I'll accept and deal with it the way I think God would have me. Then I do a few general affirmations like I meet my responsibilities to OA, if not me, who? If not now, when? I also have some basic reminders that I look at, not every day, but often, like remember God. Remember, God doesn't fix things. God gives me the power to take the actions that fix things. Step 12. 3 parts, spiritual awakening, middle part is service, and the last part is practice these principles. So spiritual awakening for me has been a long one. Remember I said I was an atheist. So for me, it's been gradually developing a new awareness of a force for good within me, an unsuspected resource that was there all along. I never knew it, of course, covered it up with all my crap. I tapped into something that was there all the time, something deep within me that helps me see beyond my ego and my self-centeredness. So the things that blocked me from a relationship with that quiet inner voice were my character flaws and my disease. As the big book says on 55, we found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. Part two of the 12th is carrying the message. And I often say, you know, service is not optional. It's the 12th step. I don't have an option. I have to do it. I accepted from the very beginning. I was fortunate, I guess, to have a tough love sponsor. He said, you will do service. You will do whatever needs to be done. And when I came in, the first thing I was assigned was to clean the ashtrays in the room, right? And the next thing, I graduated to putting the chairs away. And about 6 months later, I graduated to cleaning up the kitchen from the coffee. Not making the coffee, you mom. That took a year to make the coffee. But I had to clean up. So I got the point that there was something about this service that was going to help me get well, even if I didn't understand exactly what that was. So I devote a great deal of one-on-one time trying to help others who share my disease. I retired in 97, and since it wasn't really retirement, it was just changing jobs. My job became OA service in 97, so I've basically been doing OA service full-time since 97. Service at all levels, intergroup, region, world service. I show and tell people who want to hear it how I received my freedom. And it's not free, and that's always my point. Freedom is not free. That's the name of my story in the Overeaters Anonymous edition. My bottom line these days is, how can I be useful? How can I be useful? Third part of the 12th is practice these principles. And that's the interesting part, right? There are many, many ways you can define principles. One way is to define as the OA 12 and 12 says, for each step there's a principle. So you start out with honesty and then hope and trust. And I'll give you a couple of words on each of those. This is part of my 10-step inventory. Honesty, step one. Practice honesty in all aspects of my life, particularly self-honesty. Accept that I'm not truly in control of anything except my own choices. I'm in charge of actions, but God's in charge of outcomes. Step two is about hope. Cultivate an attitude of hope and positive thinking rather than gloominess and negativity and fault finding. Accept the best, not the worst. My mother said, you'll never be disappointed if you always expect the worst from people. No, wrong way of looking at it. Third step is about faith. I say my action is, all right, trust tomorrow to God, but today what I think God would have me do to prepare tomorrow. Have faith that God will give me what I need to do with tomorrow. Fourth is courage. Face and deal with life as it is, not as I wish it were or think it ought to be. Don't hide and isolate. Five is about integrity. Be open, be who I am, be part of the world, my true self, etc. And I could run through all those 12 steps, which I do all the time. So they're all in my head. I'm always thinking about it. But my time is running out. So I just want to close up with final comments on... Well, I had final comments someplace here. But anyway, holding on to... Did I put them away someplace? I did. Anyway, freedom is not free. I found it, but I have to work my butt off to keep it, right? It's an incurable disease that I have. I'm a food addict as well as a compulsive overeater, emotional and physical. It's not curable, but it is arrestable. And I found out from this program how to keep it arrested, and that's to practice these principles in all my affairs, to live these steps, to do what these steps suggest. You know, it must work. AA it's worked for, what, 90 years, something like that? We've been here 65 years, so we're still here. So it has worked for thousands and thousands of people. If it's not working for you, then my question is, what part of the program are you choosing not to work? Because it is your choice. It is your choice. You know, back to that tough love sponsor of mine. He says, I don't care if you don't want to do it, do it anyway. Oh, okay. And I went and did it. Guess what happens? When you're afraid to do something, you do it anyway. Then the next time, you're not so afraid to do it. So I trusted the program. I trusted the process because those people in the room said it worked for them. Even if I didn't understand it, I didn't have to understand it. I just had to trust the process and do it every day, every day, every day. And that's why I'm still here. Thanks.
Right. We're good. Okay. Thank you.
Got it. Hey, everybody. I'm Ann, compulsive overeater.
Do you need help?
Pain here. I left my cane.
Okay.
Most important thing.
Yeah. Okay. I joined program October 14th, 2004. I've been in program and abstinent for 21 years. I'm down about 43 pounds from my top weight. I joined program 6 weeks after my ex moved out. My first two meetings were anniversary meetings. And anniversary meetings in my intergroups means that once a year, the meetings drop their usual format and bring in a speaker. And so this first anniversary meeting that I went to, I heard this woman speak, and it inspired me a little bit, you know, like, well, maybe if she did it, I could do it too. But I was resentful because I didn't get to talk. What did I know? But, you know, at the time, I was resentful. And the second meeting I went to was Don and Kim talking. And so Don has been part of my program from basically the start. And when I listened to them, I thought, oh, gee, maybe I'll find another husband in the program. I'm still single. I didn't know about the fact that OA was most women. but I rebounded from my marriage. Oh, I should say I've heard Don speak a number of times since then, and I'm very intimidated to be sharing the podium with him. Anyway, so I rebounded from my marriage into this program, and I'm really, really grateful I was overweight. I mean, how many women go through divorces and don't find a lovely, supportive fellowship like this to fall into? You know, I made new friends. My spiritual life, which I had neglected. I used to be a very spiritual person. And then I got married, and suddenly my family and my job were higher power. And I didn't know I was killing myself. I thought, I just don't have time for that. And I used to have a lot of charismatic, mystical experiences, and they sort of dried up. And people in my religious group used to tell me, oh, you know, if you want to have a good spiritual life, you have to work on it. You have to. And this is outside of OA. You know, you can't just take that for granted. But I just thought, oh, it sort of dries up like your skin when you get older, you know. But I discovered when I joined OA that wasn't true. It was just there waiting for me. And that was so exciting for me to refine my spiritual life. And I found a new meaning and purpose for my life, which was to help other compulsive overeaters. And I did have one sponsee introduce me to someone else as the woman who saved her life. And granted, that's not true. Her high power saved her life. But it was nice to hear anyway. and so I've been really dedicated to this program because it saved me on a lot of levels. You know, I was in program about 2 weeks when I heard about the role of resentment and fear in addiction. And, you know, here we've been in marriage counseling for 3-4 years, getting fatter out of your book, compulsive overeaters. My husband never joined this program. And nothing was ever mentioned about the fact that this is a potentially addictive syndrome, you know, with symptoms like resentment and fear, you know. And I was in program 2 weeks, and I heard, and I felt like the skull's falling from my eyes. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter if I lose weight. If I don't get rid of these resentments and fears, they destroyed my marriage. Resentments and fears were always fresh as a daisy in my marriage. You could bring back something that happened 12 years ago and it banged over somebody's head. It was fresh as a daisy. If I don't get rid of these, when I don't get rid of them permanently, thank you. I'm never going to have anything in my life with having, I'm not going to have any relationships. You know, I have to get rid of these. So I came for the vanity because I was, stepped off the scale, I was 190 pounds, hadn't been that since I was pregnant, and I stayed for the sanity. Steps 10 through 12 are the maintenance steps. They're about staying sane. I continue to take inventory. I continue to work on improving my spiritual life. And then step 12, practice these principles in all my affairs. A lot of people look at carry message and they see that step 12 has three parts, right? Spiritual awakening, carry the message, practice these principles in all my affairs. And it's a loop. I don't know, for those of you who've been computer programmers as I have, you go over it. Again and again, it's a loop. Have a problem, I'm powerless over certain things. Let go, let God. What is my part here? I better talk to another sane human being. Step 5, how are my character defects active here? 6 and 7, what am I gonna do about this? Step 8, do it. Step 9, I've gotta keep doing that as a way of confronting every single one of my problems for my whole life. And I don't know why it is other people looked at the steps and they found them, and of course I found steps 4 and 9 intimidating, but in 5, I immediately looked at them and said, I need to do this. I need to clean myself up. This is important. And other people have been very intimidated by them, and yes, I was intimidated, but I knew it was important. Step 10 and step 11. Now, there's sort of a confusion here. I do consider myself a big book person, but there is a substantial difference between step 10 in the OA 12 and 12 and in the big book. In the big book, step 10 is the spot check inventory, where I'm trying to notice when my thinking is going off. And one of the things I used to do to myself before program, and I don't know exactly what was happening, but it felt like I was banging my brain inside my skull. Shame, self-punishment, all this stuff. And that's one of those things, if that happens, gotta do a step 10, something's wrong, I'm not being sane. But the nightly and check-in and stuff like that, that was step 11 in the big book. Whereas that's step 10 in OA 12 and 12. And of course, this business of you're supposed to do annual or semi-annual house cleanings, that's step 10 in the OA 12 and 12. I'm not quite sure where that is in the big book. So with respect to the check-ins, which I use the OA 12 and 12 kind of the idea that these nightly check-ins and stuff are step 10. By the way, I have a collection of step 10 formats. If you want to see me afterwards, I'll send them to you. What I do every night is I have a format that started out as something called 4 G's, and then I added and modified. So the first thing was gratitudes. And I have to have at least 5 gratitudes. Or maybe with 5 G's. Anyway, so I have to have 5 gratitudes, and preferably more. And that really, for me, is part of the complete psychic change, because I said this in a previous meeting, I was the sort of person who 10 minutes left,
Okay, so I used to be the kind of person who found things wrong all the time. Everything is wrong, and I never saw things that were right. And part of the psychic change of attitude is to start seeing things that were right. And I observe in my life that I'm better at than I used to be. Better than I used to be at seeing there are some good things happening, there's things I'm upset about, there are things, good things that happen. The second part of my inventory is things I did well. And one of my sponsees, I taught her this thing, and she added in a category of things I did, but I'm not sure if they were well. And I started doing that, you know, because part of an inventory, and for me, what happens to me at 11 o'clock every night is I start going, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. I failed. My day has failed. But if I write these things down that I did, I see that I really did a lot of things. And one of my big character defects is failure to observe that time happens and that I'm a mortal woman and that there's only so many things I can do in a day. And when I make choices, other things don't get done. And that's okay. So I'd get these long lists of things I did and things I did well. And, well, okay, I was really busy today. Maybe it's okay that I didn't get this other thing done, right? And so then one of my sponsors had me add a category called what do I trust, which I have a very hard time trusting anything. So I always write down there is a solution and HP can keep me abstinent tomorrow. And glitches is the next category. And I try to not have more than three. But sometimes there are more, and then I have to make a discipline of adding more gratitudes to try to counter the glitches. And then I have goals for tomorrow. Again, I try not to have more than three goals, but you know, sometimes there are more. And then I write down my food plan, which I write at night, and it does keep me up. You were pointing that out. It does keep me up, especially because I'm often watching YouTube videos while writing. You know, it's one of those things about addiction. I stop eating. There's other things I can start doing which are addictive, like social media. And I haven't joined that program. So, but I do write it, and I really, if I don't write that check-in every night, I can't sleep. I literally can't sleep. So, and then do it right. If I've deviated from my food plan, I write down and I email this to when I call my fellow traveler. I don't use the word sponsor. I've been in another program where they don't like that. I'm in a sponsorship iconoclast. I don't like this idea that you go to a guru and they tell you what to do. You know, I have a fellow traveler. The steps that require a fellow traveler are steps 5 and 8. So you really have to talk to people about those steps. Then step 11 is page 86 on the big book. I created some prayers that are a digest of that. Every morning. Now, I have to tell you, I have a lot of different names that I call higher power. I've never completely decided. When I first joined, I was mad at God because I'd been praying for him to save my marriage and he didn't. I'm now grateful because my ex is a trans woman and I don't have to see her naked. So I do for this, some of these prayers, I use the name Shiva. I don't always use the name Shiva for God. Sometimes it's God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Dao, Matu, whatever your name is. So I say Shiva. Good morning, Shiva. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the help I'm going to receive today. Please direct my thoughts. Please remove these motives, dishonesty, self-seeking, self-pity, fear. Please direct my course. Give me inspiration, thought, decision, a vision of my next step, what I need to deal with problems. Help me, no, because I'm in front of you, I'm not sure. Help me relax, take it easy, not struggle. Show me, that may be the evening one. Remove these motives, dishonesty, self-seeking, self-fear. Okay, some of that is mourning. Anyway, And during the day, it clearly says, you know, and this is where I say God, not Shiva. God, please give me the right thought or action. I'm no longer running the show. Thy will be done. This is important. I'm a Libra. I'm always weighing back and forth. I have a very hard time making decisions. God has to help me make decisions. Because then whatever I decide not to do is not going to get done, which is very distressing to me as a perfectionist. Perfectionism is, of course, as we know in this order, not a good thing. And then at night, I have a much more elaborate, you know, Shiva, thank you, thank you, thank you for the help I'm gonna receive today. Please forgive my resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. Direct me to make necessary apologies. Speak what I should not have left unsaid. Be kinder and more loving. Improve where I've not done my best. Not think of myself. Save me from worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. And then I hope that's all of it. I have it written down. I have materials at home. I just signed up at the last minute and I didn't bring the materials. And then I have a list, some more. God, please help everyone in all my communities, past, present, and future, sponsees and sponsors, family, extended family, political, professional, economic, spiritual, and geographical communities. Please help us all, and now I bring in another religion, please help us all live out Baha'u'llah's vision for the world. And help me take any necessary, because I forgot something, necessary. So I do, every night I have a different order because I forgot something in the original thing. Give me, please help me take any necessary corrective actions and please help me make good food, time, money, and people decisions tomorrow, which I end up saying twice. And also I really, then help everybody who's suffering, help me help the other compulsive overeater. That's something I added recently because I realized I'm supposed to do that. And then help other people who are victims of war, famine, disease, natural catastrophe, and other losses of political rights and family and jobs. And then I often say, are you really doing those things? I kind of doubt it. But I ask for it anyway because I've been told to ask for it. And you know, in terms of meditation, I'm spotty. I do sometimes listen to binaural beat recordings that are supposed to help with meditation, and I do sometimes use a vagus nerve stimulator, which has a similar effect. It's an electronic device that vibrates and put it around my ankle. And sometimes I actually go down to the river and pray. 1 minute left. There's not enough time. I get that song in my head. I go down to the river and pray. I'm not supposed to sing, probably. Anyway, so I think that's out of copyright. And I walk down. I live near the Hudson River, and I watch the water, and sit there and watch the water. And I take a lot of sunset pictures because I'm not a morning person. I'm up late writing this stuff and watching YouTube videos, and I don't usually go out for my walk until evening. So I take a lot of sunset pictures over the Hudson, which are really long. And I did start with saying a little bit about step 12, so that's good because I don't have much time left. But there is practice these principles in all our affairs, carry the message, and having a spiritual awakening. And so there's connection with step 11 there, but I don't keep working on my program, my connection with my higher power. I'm not going to have that spiritual awakening.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Out of time. Okay, I'm going to drink. Okay, we are recording these sessions. Did you read that part already?
Yeah, in the middle of the thing. There's 3 minutes left.
Okay, here we go. This workshop will end at 5, is that right? Okay, for the rest of the time, we'll hear 3 minute pitches from the floor. The timer, clear? Okay, we'll signal you when you have 1 minute left. If you would like to share, please form a line at the front of the room. We remind you that this session is being recorded and your sharing demonstrates your consent to be recorded. If you wish to remain anonymous, please use a fictitious name or choose not to share. Please say where you are from, how long you've been in OA, but devote your share to your OA experience, strength, and hope on the topic of this workshop. This meeting is open for sharing. Don't all come up at once.
I'll break the silence. Hi, everybody. I'm Lisa, and I am a compulsive eater.
Hi, Lisa.
And I come from Danielson, Connecticut, so part of the Connecticut crew that's all out here. There are no coincidences. Haven't really figured out like what I want to go and listen to and everything, and said, oh, 10, 11, I'm not an everyday practicer of 10, 11, and 12, but I know that I'm doing it, just not specifically at night or in the morning or 10 and 11 in the, you know, either night or morning. I too also was blessed with having our co-leader here as part of my very first meeting on Zoom, that literally I called somebody and said, I need a meeting now. And she said, join this meeting at 7 o'clock. And I said, okay. And I've also done some workshops with both. And 10, 11, and 12. 12 I can do pretty easily. 12, because that's the giving of me. I'm a very giving person. But to specifically like look at my day and where was I selfish, dishonest, I can pick out dishonesty really quick. That's part of my prayer every morning when I pray in the shower, to help me stay away from dishonesty. I'm all over the place, I feel like, right now. But to be reminded that 10, 11, and 12 are part of the steps. 12 is not optional. And I pride myself in being of service, and I am looking forward to being of more service, not only here, but also, you know, in my OA unit. So thank you both for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And with that, I'll pass.
Hi, I'm Roberta. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi, I'm from New Rochelle. The first step of I admitted that I want to eat all of the time and I can't do anything about it and my life is a mess. That's what got me to the meeting, to OA. Shame about my body, wanting to look better, just didn't want to go anywhere, and also blaming. And getting abstinent and changing the way I looked and getting back to how I looked before I gained a lot of weight and didn't stop eating, that's what got me in the door. That's why I bought the ticket. But I'm not going to go anywhere except back to the refrigerator if I don't look at how I'm behaving and who I'm with. Am I with all these mistakes and criticism and all this stuff I microscopically bother with? Or am I going to look to spiritual help, to goodness, and have that zap back to me to live with rigorous honesty and to see what my goals are and what I've done to help another. Without 10 and 11, 10, 11, and 12, it's a trampoline. it's right back to the bounce down again. And I got to do it no matter what time of day it is. Shower is a good, is frequently the temple. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Debbie. I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi,
I'm from Montrose Falls, New York, and I've been in the program about 12 and a half years. I'm an imperfect human being, and so my practice of 10, 11, and 12 is, 12 is not really a problem, but 10 and 11 have been sporadic for me over the years. I was in a session earlier on steps 4 and 5, so I'm really grateful that there is a 10th step, that because a couple of really, really old resentments came up for me as I was sitting listening that I hadn't realized were there. And so I have a little bit of writing to do. I have a couple of 10 step resentment inventories to do. And I'm sure that will lead into a fear inventory as well, as they almost always do. And so I'm just really grateful. Thank you both for your shares. It was very moving. And there's so much information. I was just scribbling and scribbling, and I know I missed stuff, but I'm just really grateful to be here. This has been a wonderful day. And I thank all of you for being here too. Thanks.
I did once hear the saying, if you didn't share, you weren't there.
Hi, I'm Sarah, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sarah.
I just want to say this is a good topic for me, because this is one of the things I'm realizing as I've struggled through the years and with relapse in the program. I'm realizing that this 10 and 11, not as much with 12, it's, because I'm an outgoing person, but it's the sitting and being with my higher power that I've really struggled with. And I notice for myself, one of the habits I have is when I'm thinking about my day, I'm not including that time. So it's just it's even just a strategy kind of thing. Like, I'm like, okay, I have to be here at 11 o'clock. I'm retired now. And so I plan my day so that I'm leaving before 11, but it's not including that, you know, half an hour to an hour that I need to spend with my higher power. And I have seen you, Don, before, and you did a day-long workshop with us. I don't remember where it was, but in this area. And I always remembered you talking about that time in the morning and how you used that. And it's always come into my mind, and it's like I'm getting this message from my higher power. This is what you need to do in order to maintain, you know, your recovery. I'm just coming from a relapse, and you know, this last relapse, I gained 150 pounds, so it's definitely time for me to deal with this. And there's some comfort in that whole thing, too. Like, when you give yourself permission, when I give myself permission to do this, I make it part of my life, it does give me comfort, because it's easier for me to call on my higher power throughout the day. I do it, but sort of, I heard somebody say sporadically, sort of half-assed kind of thing, instead of making that a priority the same way I would make appointments a priority. So it seems like I have trouble with making appointments that have to do with me, not commitment to you or you or you. So it's nice to have that message again. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Ian, Apostle Warrior. I've been in prostate recovery for about 17 years and OA specifically for about 8. Yeah, it's just been such an incredible gift to sit through an entire day of step workshops like this, and I feel very grateful. I've got all the steps running through my head right now, and I guess uppermost right now is 10. You know, when I came into the rooms, everything was your fault. None of it was my fault. I was the victim. And 10 gives me the opportunity to own my numerous character defects every day in a way that I can hold gently and kindly, and I don't have to fight when I do that. You know, I can just own where I am a flawed human being, and that's totally fine. It's all good. I've just got to do the right thing, react the right way. So yeah, I'm just feeling a lot of gratitude right now. Thank you so much for sharing and for your being here. Thank you.
Hi everybody, I'm a compulsive reader. And I want to thank you both. I really, really enjoyed it. I don't know why I was thinking this, but I pulled out a word from each of the steps, 11 and 12. And so these are for step 10, my favorite word is when. It doesn't say continue to take personal inventory, and if we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Like, isn't that cool? It's expected that I will get wrong. Now, for my perfectionist, my inner perfectionist, I don't like that. But in terms of like real life and functioning as a human being, it doesn't demand perfection. It says I will get it wrong, and when I'm wrong, so that's my favorite word there. I promptly admitted it. Favorite word could change tomorrow, but tonight that's pretty good. In step 11, only, praying only for God, the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Now, sometimes it's very cathartic and very helpful for me to write out or think about a lot of different things, but this just, tonight says, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's, I can't take care of it all, but I can ask for God for knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out and not have to be worried about the rest. Just ask, pray only for knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. And then 12, best word ever, tried. I'm sure I'm not the only person here who has an inner perfectionist. But I really think I have to get it all right, or you won't like me. You know, I won't be with the cool kids. Isn't it fun that we actually ended up to be the cool kids? But yeah, I digress. We tried to carry the message of having the spiritual awakening from the steps to compulsive ears, and we tried to practice these ideas, these principles in all our affairs. I want to be upset on the word all in all my affairs, but I'm going to choose to pick on the word tried. We tried to do the best we can. So when, only, and tried. Never say I couldn't share in three words.
We have time for one more share.
We have 4 minutes left.
Come on, you can do it.
I have the laser across here that's strafing. If you come up that aisle, you'll miss it. You won't get straight. Am I going to close early? There's a lot of people here. Okay. That's almost all the time we had for sharing. And thanks for attending the workshop. We'll close with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done.